Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is December 18th, and our reading comes from Revelation chapter 9. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet." And remember, we've already done the seal judgments. Now we're on the trumpet judgments. This is the fifth trumpet judgment. "And I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky, and he," so this star isn't another weapon, "he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit." So many people speculate that this is Satan himself. "And when he opened it, Satan opened that pit. Smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned black from the smoke. Then locusts came out from the smoke and descended upon the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass or plants or trees, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were told not to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months with pain like the pain of a scorpion sting. In those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them." And most commentators believe this represents Satan unleashing demons, who John describes as scorpions, who will torture people on earth who do not have the mark of God, who are not set aside and protected by God. Verse 7, "The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. They had what looked like gold crowns on their head, and their faces looked like human faces. They had hair like women's hair, teeth like the teeth of a lion, and they wore armor made of iron, and their wings roared like an army of chariots rushing into battle. They had tails that stung like scorpions, and for 5 months they had the power to torment people. Their king is the angel from the bottomless pit. His name is Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, the destroyer. The first terror is past, but look, two more terrors are coming." So those are demons torturing people on the earth who are not sealed with the mark of God. Verse 13, "Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held the trumpet, 'Release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River.'" Again, most commentators think this is four powerful demons that are released on the earth to bring judgment and to torment the people on earth. "Then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were turned loose to kill 1/3 of all the people on the earth. I heard the size of their army, which was 200 million mounted troops." Once again, we really are not sure. Are these actual men, a 200 million man army, or are these demons, are these spiritual forces that are tormenting the earth? And again, 1/3 of the world dies. So earlier in the seal judgments, 1/3 of the world died. And now another 1/3 of the world dies. So about half the world's population at this point has died. Verse 17, "And in my vision, I saw the horses and the riders sitting on them. And the riders wore armor that was fiery red and dark blue and yellow. And the horses had heads like lions, and fire and smoke and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths." So many people think that one of the judgments, or one of the ways these demons are going to torment people on the earth, is through a delusion, something come out of their mouth. So they're going to deceive the world into believing in the Antichrist or to follow Satan. Verse 18, 1/3 of all the people on earth were killed by these three plagues, by the fire and smoke and burning sulfur that came from the mouths of the horses. Their power was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails had heads like snakes with the power to injure people. But the people who did not die in these plagues," listen to this, "the people that did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual morality or their thieves. So here's the thing that we have to understand. God's judgment is always designed to cause people to see their humanity and to turn back to God. Again, God's judgment, even His judgment, is actually an expression of His love, intended to limit sin, the power of sin, and in order to turn hearts back to God. But what we see here is, despite God's judgment being poured out on the earth, rather than people repenting and turning back to God, instead, they're hanging on. They're digging in their heels. Now, what does all of this mean for us today? There's so much in this chapter that even for me, I have a difficult time really understanding. I feel like with a lot of the figurative language, I'm just guessing about what it means or could mean. The good news is, hopefully, I believe the church is going to be raptured out before this tribulation period. And during the tribulation, those who get saved, they are marked and protected by God. They're very much aware that Jesus is real and we're in a battle for our life and for the kingdom of God. I think they'll rally together. The church of the redeemed during the tribulation will be strong and really have great community. But there's a lot here that we don't know. But here's some things that we do know. We serve a God who has a plan. You know, it's almost Christmas time, and one of my favorite verses is in Galatians 4, where it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. And so God waited to send Jesus, the Savior, until the perfect moment in human history. So, for example, when Jesus showed up, the Greek alphabet was well known, and it was the first language in world history that was complicated enough, precise enough to really communicate the gospel well. So that was a big deal. So the timing was important. Furthermore, the Roman Empire was in play. And so the Roman Empire made it possible for the disciples to take the gospel message to the ends of the earth. That was huge. Also, the Roman Empire, they built roads for commerce that made it easy to travel and to take the gospel around the world. Also, when Jesus shows up and the disciples, after His death and resurrection, are preaching Christ, it was a period of unprecedented peace and religious tolerance. Before or after that moment, Jesus and the way Christianity would have been stomped out because it would have been seen as a threat to the religion of the state. Well, all that happened in a period of unprecedented religious tolerance that allowed Jesus to emerge and the disciples to go. So God was very intentional, is the point I'm making, to bring Jesus into the world at just the right moment. In fact, you know something else? The Romans invented the postal service. And so all of these New Testament books were written as letters that were being circulated to the churches. So remember from chapters 2 and 3, John is writing to the churches in Asia, seven churches in modern-day Turkey. And this letter was circulating. Well, it was the postal service that made that possible. Well, if God would have backed up and Jesus came into the world 100 years earlier, those things wouldn't have been true and possible. So in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. So I say all that to say, in the very same way, in the fullness of time, Jesus will come again and take His church. And there are so many things that are happening in the world today that appear to be perfect for what we're reading about in the book of Revelation. So I'm convinced Jesus is going to come at any moment. And man, I long for that day. And then what we're reading about is going to begin to unfold. So let's ask God to help us live with a sense of urgency. And let's ask God to allow us to rest and to trust in His sovereignty and in His plan. And let's ask God to give us a peace that we are His children and He's going to protect us and we're going to live forever with the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for what we're reading in Revelation. And although there's so much we don't understand, Lord, here's what we do know. You have a plan. You are sovereign over the kingdoms of men. You sent your son the first time in the fullness of time, and Jesus is going to return the second time in the fullness of time according to your redemptive plan. We trust you for that. And God, between now and then, give us a sense of urgency to tell people about Jesus. And God, sometimes when we read Revelation, people, they become afraid. And Lord, I pray that we'd be able to rest in your love and care for us, that you're going to protect the church, your children, that you're going to actually bring us out of the earth. We need to watch this from heaven. So God, I pray that we would not be anxious or fearful, but that we would trust we are the children of God, the redeemed, and that we can trust in you to protect and to take care of us. Our eternity is secure. We're going to spend eternity forever with you in paradise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me today. I hope that encourages you. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.